Today we have Star Lee White of Well Fiber. She's married mom of two and on a quest for more sustainable choices in her wardrobe. She is amazing. She's going to educate us on fast fashion, and she's going to talk us through some practical ways to start taking some baby steps toward a more sustainable closet. But before we get into that about fast fashion, we need to, of course, thank our fake sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Target Clearance. Oh no, the seam's falling apart.
It's $3.
It's maternity and I'm not pregnant.
It's $3?
Is this men's?
It's $3.
It's a child's.
Put it on my card. It's $3.
Thanks, Target Clearance. Target Clearance.
Sorry, us?
Welcome to Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand.
We're trying to figure out how to do this thing, the mom thing, the entrepreneur thing, while trying to turn all the lemons into lemonade.
And figuring out how to grow our own little lemonade stands we've started.
But metaphorically.
Yeah,
they get it.
I'm Shaylee Murphy, an interior designer and mom of one.
And I'm Katie Day, a photographer and mom of four. So, I win.
Do you?
Do I?
Katie? What do we not like?
Gluten!
Yes!
Or dairy! Yeah! Or thinking about what to feed my family. Or cooking, really, at all.
Okay. Katie, what do we like? Prep dish!
Pizza!
No.
Oh, okay. Prep dish. Yes. Okay. No, yes, because the gluten.
Stay on the same
dairy,
page.
And the... I get it now. Yes, right. Okay. We don't like thinking about dinner. But we do like healthy eating. Okay.
I get it. Guys, you can be in control of dinner and healthy goals for way less than the cost of a pizza.
Yeah, way less. $2 or $3 for prep dish. And you're not like destroying your body.
You're like restoring your body.
Oh my gosh, did you just come up with that?
I did.
Up top.
We're not in the same room. Prep dish is a meal planning service, and every week you get an email with prep ahead instructions so that all your meals are ready for the week with no guesswork needed. Visit prepdish.com/SK, where the founder Allison is offering all of our listeners a free 2-week trial to try it out for free. It's a no-brainer, prepdish.com/SK.
Okay, so we're gonna jump in here. Now, everybody knows by now that Star is an expert in all things clothing, both making it, wearing it, modeling it, collecting it, but also researching it. So we're so excited to learn from you today. Aww. But before we get into that, I would love to tell just a little bit about how you and I met.
Because
yes. It's not a normal story.
Yes.
So what do you remember about the way we met, Star?
Okay, this is what I remember. We were not in America.
Uh-huh.
And we were on a work site with paint brushes and a large metal gate and
yes.
a corrugated metal gate in Haiti. And I was volunteering there as a kind of like a team leader. We were getting a lot of American volunteers at the time after the earthquake. And I ended up painting this gate next to this very sweet girl named Katie. And we just kind of started talking and hit it off. Yeah, that's what I remember.
I remember, just to tie it into our topic here, I remember your gateway to talking to me was you go, I really like your bow in your hair. Did you make it yourself? And I did.
Ah!
It's like the last time I sewed anything.
The last time you had anything sustainable on your head.
So how funny that that was your little, like,
oh, I forgot about
connection.
That. That's so fun.
And then, yeah. And Star, I could get really deep, but Star is one of those people who... You are just very magnetic and are kind of this like light up a room, bubbly girl, very easy to talk to. But weirdly, we got really deep really fast. And I felt like you were one of those people who was like meant to be put in my path. And I felt like I learned things, not just from like being in Haiti, but from you specifically. Like I was like, if Star had not been there, it would have been a completely different trip. And then we got to stay connected on the internet because life is cool.
Yeah.
And here you are on my podcast, like however, I don't even know, like probably 7 years later.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Oh, that's special to hear your side of it. And I love that. I love that you, and conversely, you probably didn't know I was having a really hard time when I was in Haiti. It's just it's a beautiful country in its own way and a really hard country. to jump into, and I was having a rough go of it. And so talking with you, someone was very creative and kind. It was one of the things that helped me get through to the end of my time there, just encouragement wise and just to have a friend. And you were there for a week, but I had a friend for a week. So that was super special to me.
Aww. I'm going to cry.
Do I need to leave the room?
Chills and pure.
Yeah, I probably am. All over the place. No, that's very precious. I'm glad that the gate, I've been sitting on this the whole time. The gate was the gateway.
There it is.
To your friendship. There it is. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really
all because two people painted a gate.
Yep.
And Haiti. Right. Katie and Haiti. Hashtag Katie and Haiti. There wasn't hashtags then, but man, would
oh,
I
you totally and Haiti. Really yeah.
ruled it.
I might go back just because of that. Okay, so we're gonna you know, include Shaylee now.
Thank you.
Welcome, Shaylee.
Thank you. Welcome. I'm thanks for having me on your podcast. Yeah.
Actually, Shaylee, I feel like every time I've listened to the podcast, I'm like, I know why Katie is friends with Shaylee, or I know why Katie and I hit it off, because I'm basically the Wichita Shaylee. I mean, I don't know if you know this, Shaylee, but on one episode you said a long time ago, oh, one of our listeners even has the same vintage picture as me. That's me. We have the same exact vintage
the same person.
Picture. Yes. And so many things you've said, I'm like, what? I'm basically the Wichita Shaylee.
Well, that's what they call her in Wichita.
Yeah. They call me Shaylee.
They call her the Wichita
Wait, no, Star. I like Star better.
People Your call you the cool. Springfield Star.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what it is. We'll make each other t-shirts someday. Oh, no, that's so cool, though.
Aww.
Yeah. Okay, I feel included.
Yay.
And Shaylee, I like you as well.
Good. That's good.
People don't know how we met, but they will on the 100th episode.
100th episode. You keep teasing that, and we're on like 91 now, so.
Oh, it's getting close.
I Woo! Mean, yeah.
Okay, so let's get into the meat here. We want to learn from you. So hey. Will you, can we just start with
I'm scared.
Some basic education? Shaylee's terrified.
Okay, don't be scared.
I'm so
You're gonna ruin my world.
Well, we're in it just a little bit. It'll be kind of like...
It's a good ruin.
It's like...
It's growing pains.
Shaylee, it ruins you until you forget about it, and then you're fine.
Okay. Yeah. It ruins me when I have to listen to it.
Okay, so can we just start with, like, some definitions of some terms that maybe people don't necessarily know?
Okay.
So I would love to start with kind of just defining, like, fast fashion.
Okay. So... I don't claim to be an expert on any of these topics. It is something I'm passionate about. So I'll just share kind of my perspective, I guess. Fast fashion, from what I understand, is clothing that is essentially disposable. And sadly, that's how a lot of clothing, not all clothing, is being made these days. So I'm hesitant to like throw out brand names, but you can probably guess what brands, based on price, create clothing that's basically disposable, like one and done, you wear it and then you maybe never wear it again, or maybe it falls apart.
Does it have an age in the title? Let's say like 21.
Yeah. Like H&M and Zara, even Target clothes. You can kind of guess what brands those might be, because of the price mainly. Can guess what might be fast fashion. And there's been a huge shift in the fashion industry, I mean, in the last 10, 20, 30 years, 50 years, where there used to be, like, two seasons of clothing that designers would create for, like, the whole year, kind of warm weather and cold weather, and then there was four seasons, and now it's almost like a weekly, monthly turnover where there's new things coming out constantly, so you're sort of constantly seeing what's the latest thing, what's on trend, and sort of how you feel like, oh, the stuff I just bought last month isn't relevant anymore, so I need to go get more and keep up. So that's another piece of fast fashion, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting that it probably used to be, especially without the internet, like there's a winter season and there's like a summer season.
Do you need a coat or do you not need a coat?
And the winter catalog is coming out in a few months. I can't wait to see, like, I can imagine how the anticipation, like, you didn't know you were behind because you couldn't know.
Right. Well, and you couldn't wait to buy like the one coat that your grandma had for like 45 years. Like the one that lasts forever. I think people also took a lot of pride in what they made, and it was more like a craft.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. I feel like that goes with like houses, clothes, and everything.
Well, and I think things used to be a lot higher quality, and so you paid more for it. So sewing your own clothes was more common because it's actually more economical to sew your own clothes back in the day, whereas now that's not necessarily the case because you can buy things so inexpensively at stores. Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference in like the fabrics they even use in fast fashion nowadays?
Well, there's some positives and negatives. We've come a long way with fiber as far as there's blends of fiber now. You think of like the 60s and 70s and you think of like polyester, and we've come a long way with how polyester is processed, but so you still see a lot of polyester in fast fashion, but there is also a lot of cotton, but that's actually a problem because cotton production now, it's in such demand that there's repercussions to the environment, pesticides, labor, mutations, there's a lot that goes along with the demand because there are natural fibers in fast fashion as well as synthetics. So it's not necessarily like everything is synthetic in fast fashion either.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So the difference between synthetic and natural fibers, obviously it's like you can find natural fibers growing. Synthetic is like produced in a man-made lab.
Yes. So synthetic is man-made fibers. Natural fibers can be found in the environment. There's protein fibers and plant fibers. Protein fibers, such as silk, actually comes from an animal, or wool comes from an animal. Mm-hmm. But linen is from the flax plant, and cotton obviously grows in the ground. So those would be like plant-based fibers. And those are natural.
So what, I might be jumping the gun.
Okay.
I'm just sitting here trying to like process.
Okay.
So what you're saying is, if I looked at that, I would think buying cotton and linen and silk is going to be better than man-made materials because this is like natural cotton fiber. So it's better for the earth than some sort of plasticky man-made fiber. But what you're saying is, even if they're using cotton in fast fashion, it still can create, it can throw off the supply and demand because people are going through it so fast.
Yes. And I think the thing about, if you think about the term fast fashion and you are trying to face it, the obvious term is slow, fast fashion, slow fashion. So slowing down is thinking about the life cycle of a garment. So the way it's created, what fibers are used, to how many times you're wearing the garment, to what you're doing when you're done with it, and then eventually like where it lands, where it ends up at the end of its so-called life. So something made out of cotton at the end of its life is going to disintegrate and deteriorate back into the earth relatively quickly, whereas something like polyester can take up to 200 years to disintegrate and fall apart into the earth. So you can see there's a big difference there. And it's important when you're when you're coming to terms with your lifestyle when it comes to clothes and fast fashion, slowing down and kind of thinking through each piece that you're buying, or in my case, like making, and the impact that's going to make from the start to the end.
Wow. Okay. So, man. Okay.
It's going to be a lot of cheerleading uniforms that last a long time.
That's all I'm thinking. Of cheerleading uniforms.
That's right.
Aliens are going to land on the earth, and they're going to be like, well, were these people? They just wore
only
frilly skirts, and their stomachs were exposed.
And the Brady Bunch.
That's awesome.
So then, were you always passionate about this, or do you have, like, a past where you consumed more?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, growing up, I've always loved clothes. I love to shop. I did a lot of secondhand shopping growing up, just for financial reasons, and my mom would take us. And so I was very familiar with secondhand shopping, but even within that, I would just buy a lot of clothes. into college, I bought a lot of clothes. Always my closet was just packed full. And it wasn't after my daughter was born. It was actually after my son was born. So I have two kiddos. And when my son was born in 2016, which wasn't that long ago, it seemed like funny timing, but what happened was I had never been a mother of multiple children before, and the demand on my time and energy and mental capacity and the amount of decisions I was making any given moment just to take care of their needs, it was overwhelming. And then to walk into a closet of clothes that most of them didn't fit me postpartum, and then some of them I just didn't like anymore. And basically, you know, that feeling of walking into your closet and not liking anything, I was just so tired of that and tired of the amount of time it would take me to try to figure out something to wear that made me feel good. So after my son was born, I made a big change and tried doing a capsule wardrobe for the first time. And actually, there was two things that really pushed that to happen. And one of them was the birth of my son and just the pressure of having another child and the amount of things you have to do in a day. And sometimes putting clothes on your body, you can't give that much thought to it. But the second thing was, there's a documentary called The True Cost, and mm-hmm. a lot of people have heard of it by now, which is awesome. And if you haven't watched it, I highly encourage it. I think it's on Netflix or Amazon. I can't remember which one. But it talks a lot about the effects of the fast fashion industry, and they interview a widow of a U.S. cotton farmer who died of cancer due to like the amount of pesticides he had to use to keep up his cotton crops to supply the demand for cotton. And that's just one instance of someone that was affected by the demand for more cotton to produce fabric. And that's only in the U.S. That's not as common. Most of the fibers are created overseas. Mm-hmm. So you get personal accounts of people that are affected by literally like my decision to go to Forever 21 and buy a shirt. So it bridges the gap between like you going to buy something and like who this is actually affecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that documentary blew my mind.
Yeah.
Shaylee, I think I challenged you to watch it.
I did watch it.
Yeah. You did.
I watched it in pieces, and I think it was on a phone. And I was on a trip, but I did watch it.
Yeah,
I remember like on a plane, sitting on a couch in a hotel. So I'm like, I don't remember when I watched it, but I did watch it. And I liked too, it talks about like the factories overseas, yes. Which I know you can get, you know, really down in a hole. And then there's all the different sides of like, but those people, I mean, they need a job and they have a job.
Right.
And that whole thing. But, you know, I think that the key is just taking responsibility and just a few steps can make a big impact for what we can control. So right. We can't control everything.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that we can just not do anything about mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, I think the first step, you know, in a lot of things is just that awareness factor and educating yourself and understanding, like, you alone can't save the planet. But by even making a few small changes, you can make an impact over a lifetime of implementing that change. It can make a significant impact in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention just even what you're demonstrating to your two kids versus like if they just saw you consuming and continuing to stuff your closet. I mean, that's kind of what I grew up with as normal. And like if you see a shirt that fits you well at Target, get it in every color. Because you might never ever find a shirt again. I don't know what the fear is there, but I feel like that was kind of like the 2-for-1, fantastic, 3-for-1, even better, like more,
right?
What could, like, there's no downside. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of interesting because it's like it's a global impact, but then even just you talking about decision fatigue, mm-hmm. like it's also just freeing to I'm interested in your closet now. So like, how many pieces are in there?
That's my other question. So I'm thinking about my closet. Like, if I wanted to go full star, then what do I do with all of the stuff I already have that may or may not be fast fashion? I'll let you decide. I'll leave it up for I have some good high quality handmade pieces, but I will say, cheap. So there's a lot of Target. There's a lot of Target in there.
Yeah.
But let's say I wanted to start over. Like, what's the good answer of what to do with it all?
Yeah, I think there's something that I was going to share, if you don't mind. It's called the Buyerarchy of Needs. Have you guys heard of that term?
No. Oh, I love this.
Okay. It's there's actually a graphic that goes with it. It's a pyramid. And this girl came up with it. And it's super helpful when you're thinking about buying something, and then we can talk about like how to get rid of things kind of ethically or in a way that you feel good about. I don't in any way want to be the ethics police, because I am not perfect in this area at all. It's just something that I am passionate about. So when you're thinking about consumption, this applies in a lot of areas, but okay, the bottom of the pyramid, it's like the food pyramid that you learned when you're in elementary school. You know, the biggest part is at the bottom, and that's like, you know, veggies, like that's what you should be eating the most of or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was grains. I feel like it should be veggies if it's not.
Things just bread.
Yeah. So the bottom is use what you have, which sounds like a no-brainer. So the best thing you can do to start with is to use what you already own. And I think that doesn't sound that exciting, but sometimes it can be fun when you pull out all your stuff and try mixing things in new ways or layering in a creative way. I think that also you could think about mending something if you have something that has a hole or needs to be taken in or something, like you could consider mending it or altering what you already have. The second tier on the pyramid, that we're starting at the bottom and working our way up. So the second tier is to borrow. So this one I think is really, there's a really clear example in my head is if you have like a special occasion that you need a fancy dress for, like, I don't know, I tend to think I need to get like a new fancy dress for every work party that my husband has. And mm-hmm. like, instead of going out to buy a new dress, like consider borrowing one from a friend that feels new to you. You're probably, you know, you only wear those dresses usually like one night. So borrowing from a friend, washing it or dry cleaning it and returning it, boom, you didn't consume anything new, but you still got to wear a new to you dress to that event. So that's, I think borrowing is something we don't do very often anymore, but that's something that that you could think of. And also like with maternity clothing, because you're not pregnant for that long to share maternity clothing. Yeah, that's a really easy one, to do. And, or like even like nursing stuff, since you don't need that for super long either. So those are things that you could borrow or share. And then this one applies to your question, Shaylee, is swap. So I don't know if you guys have ever done a clothing swap, but that's also really fun. Have you done one?
Yes. Oh, yes.
We've an annual one, yeah.
Yeah, we've not done it. We have friends that host them that are much cooler than us that we go and take all their cool stuff.
There you
and
go.
Bring a few items in return.
Yeah.
Those are really cool. I've gotten some of my favorite pairs of shoes at clothing swaps.
Yeah. So it's like a super fun excuse to get together with people, but you're actually like helping each other not buy anything new. So it's great. And then the next tier is thrift or buy secondhand. So if those first options aren't working, then to try to seek out something secondhand. I love secondhand shopping. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, and now there's so many things online where you can shop secondhand that it's becoming a little bit more doable for people, especially if you're looking for a specific piece. So I've used ThredUp a couple times to sell clothing and buy clothing. So that's one site that I've used to try to, you know, repurpose my clothes to give someone else or make a little bit of money. And then I found a few things on that site as well. And then the second to the top tier is to make your own clothing or make whatever you need. Maybe it's not clothing, but in my case, I love to make clothes. And I think the thing that is helpful when you make an article of clothing is you invest a lot of time and energy into it. So you're careful about how you wash it and you're careful about how you take care of it because you have an investment. So I'm like, I take such good care of those handmade clothing because I've, you know, put my heart into it. So that's the second to the top tier. And the last thing is buy. So it sounds like a lot, but it's it's like if you can put that in your head to sort of go through those motions first, like most likely you're going to find what you need before you go buy something new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And actually, all of those things you mentioned are things that I really enjoy. Like,
yeah,
like thrifting and garage sales, yeah, and estate sales. I found tons. You can get some cool old lady skirts,
yeah,
at estate sales for like a dollar unless you go on the third day, and then they give you a quarter to take
it. That's right.
And belts and all sorts of things. Yeah. So I think I enjoy every part of it. My problem is I enjoy all the parts of the pyramid equally.
Yeah.
And so just
a big square.
It's just a big circle. And yeah, big square. Everything's equal in my brain. But I think, too, putting myself in the position of if I'm at Target, don't go browse through the 75% off rack. If there's nothing that you need, because what happens is you'll find something that you do need.
Mm-hmm. Suddenly.
In your brain all of a sudden.
Suddenly you need
right?
it. Yeah.
For that, like, I could use this as a swimsuit cover-up. Even though it's plus size, I could wear it as a swimsuit cover-up next year when we may go on a family vacation because it's $3. I'm putting it in my cart. But that's the thing, too. And I've thought about that before when shopping, when you look at, like, a price or at places where, like, full price is, like, $6. And I always think, like,
how?
It wouldn't be worth it for someone to even spend, like, 45 minutes, like, sewing this once mm-hmm. you put the cost of the material
yeah.
in it. And then you're like, how could this be? And then it gets marked for on sale. And, I mean, it is weird. And then what happens is the quality, even if you're like, I'm going to keep this forever, it just wears out because it's not quality. So
right.
you get holes in it and the thread starts coming out and it's just kind of a mess.
Right. Yeah, exactly. There's something, there's a lot of ways I think you can combat that. And there's some things you can learn about clothing that helps you understand what quality looks like and kind of what to avoid. And there's also something I just learned about recently, but it's like a movement or whatever you want to call it, a challenge on Instagram. It's called #30wears. And it's challenging people to, when you purchase a garment, to wear it at least 30 times, like 30 times. Will you wear this garment 30 times or ideally more? So that's, I think, a super easy thing to help you think when you're purchasing something. Will this get worn 30 times? Will this last for 30 wears? Is the quality good enough to last 30 mm-hmm. times? So that was challenging to me when I read that. I was like, oh, I'm going to start asking myself that as I even make my own garments or I purchase new things. Like, is this going to get at least 30 wears in my lifetime?
Yeah, that's great.
So how do you detect quality? Other than just sheer price.
Well, and that's, you know, not, you think that would always be an indicator. That's not always the case. But, okay, so there's a few things I think you can look for. The finishes is one thing that I would take note of. And by finishes, I mean the seam work on the inside. So what you can do, and even at thrift stores, just take the garment and turn it inside out and look how it's constructed. And you don't have to be a seamstress to be able to make these observations. So there's certain ways that seams are constructed, and there's seam allowance, which is the amount of fabric on the other side of the seam. And there's things that you can look for. So one kind of really strong quality finish is called a French seam. And that's where the raw edge of the fabric is actually totally hidden. You'll often see seams that have been serged. That's probably the most common, and that is a good strong finish. It kind of depends on the weave of the fabric, but you want to make sure you're not seeing like a ton of loose threads or things like that.
Serging for everyone is basically like thread all the way up to the cut finish, and it's just like a ton of thread that's all,
yes, you see it kind of
tangled and wrapped.
Yeah, you see it going back and forth.
And if you ever pull it, it's a hot mess. If you ever pull it.
That's exactly
it's like
right.
A Chinese finger trap.
Yes, yeah. That's perfect example, yes. So the other thing is with quality is that the type of fabric, which we talked about a little bit, is this fabric going to hold up to many washes, to my child that will be pulling on it, or, you know, spitting up on it? Do I sweat a lot? Is it going to hold up to me sweating, or is it going to hold up to rain or just whatever environment you're in, just to ask yourself, like, is this something that is going to fit in the environment I live in my lifestyle and hold up for 30 or more wears? So looking at fiber content, is important. And I tend to reach for natural fibers. They breathe a lot better, so you're not stinking it up as bad. And they also are kinder when they break down, you know, like we talked about, the end of their life cycle. Those are the things I can think of off the top of my head right now.
Is there anything almost every garment has like a tag?
Yes.
That tells you, like, the type of fabric, yes, or, like, how to wash. Is there, yes, anything you look for on there?
Yes, great question. So that's where you would find the fiber content. It's not always on the top tag, you know, that's behind your neck. Or in jeans or pants, it's usually in the main tag. But on shirts, a lot of times it'll be on the side seam. A lot of times you end up cutting those out because they bug you. But it is good to look on there and see what the fiber content is. So, and that will also, like you said, tell you how to wash it, how to take care of it, like what setting on the iron to use so you don't burn or harm the fabric, those kind of things.
So I always thought it was kind of a crock when they'd be like, it's organic cotton for my something. And I was like, guys, you're not even eating it. Who cares? Is what old Shaylee thought. But I know that obviously there's reasons, but does it admit like the pesticides and stuff that was on the cotton if you get just normal cotton, or is there a big difference between organic and normal?
I think it depends on like the way it was grown. So was it just like the food you eat, like was it grown organically or not? So was the cotton grown without pesticides? Because from what I've read, it can linger in the fibers, and your body, your skin is your largest organ, so you do absorb what the fabric puts off. I'm not aware of how much gets washed away once it's, you know, been through the washing machine, but that's why people would put that claim on there, you know, organic cotton, to let you know that was created in an environment where there wasn't pesticides, it's better for you. It's better for the farmer who's growing the cotton, because they're not breathing in those pesticides. So it's basically letting you know that this was created in like a more healthy environment, and then it will be better for you, for your skin, for, you know, for your washing machine and all that.
Okay. No, that's good information.
And you can eat it.
And yeah.
And you can eat it if you ever need to.
Good luck with that one.
Like cotton. Another question. You just pop like cotton corn. No? cotton candy.
There you go.
It just lasts longer in your mouth. So when you talked about thrifting, do you use the same quality searching tools if you're thrifting, or are you like, oh, I found this thing at a thrift store that's from Target, but technically it's the second time around, so I'm saving this thing from a landfill, and like, then it's okay, or what's the line? Are you only buying ethically? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A clothing exchange.
Yeah, well, I think the fact that if you're doing it secondhand, like, that's already a huge step up. I will say, like, thrift stores are getting so overstocked and full. Like, I think I read that a sixth of what gets donated is what's actually in thrift stores, and the rest of it goes to landfills. So,
yeah, I read that too. Yeah. That's discouraging.
It is discouraging.
It's because of me. It's because of Katie. They're like, no more clothes, Katie. Your kids, too many kids.
It's so hard to know what to do, but I think the fact that you're shopping secondhand, first of all, is like a win. And then for me personally, I even maybe have like higher standards at thrift stores, because that's where I have found some of my highest quality garments at thrift stores. Like I have a couple designers that I really love that I just can't afford their stuff new, but I've found a few treasured pieces at thrift stores. And that's so exciting when that happens, and you're getting a garment that's someone's already, you know, loved it well, and now you get to, and, it's a good quality piece. So that's really,
I was going to say on the Biarchy's, pyramid, you mentioned thrifting and you mentioned making, but you, Star, will take something from a thrift store and then make it into something completely new, which is my favorite thing to follow on Instagram.
Yeah. That's cool.
So can you talk us through what you look for before you transform a piece?
Yeah, so I enjoy sewing, and when I first got it started, I think I was afraid of buying new fabric and like messing up the garment because I was just learning. So I started, since thrifting was so familiar to me and something I've done my whole life, I decided to just go look for like, you know, the biggest skirts I could find or biggest dresses I could find and basically just use those as sources of fabric. So I would look for linen and cotton or just prints that I liked, and go from there. So those are some of my most fun makes are the ones that, you know, used to be something totally different and now it's, you know, a new different garment.
Can you talk us through a couple of your transformations?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So the one I'm probably most proud of is last year I made a jean jacket and I went and found 4 pairs of men's Levi jeans that were zero stretch and cut them all apart and was able to create a jean jacket from 4 pairs of jeans. So
what?
Yeah.
did you have a background in sewing?
At that point,
like,
yes.
Formal training?
Oh, no. I've never had any formal training.
Okay. Because a jean jacket, like, I did fashion design 1 year, and we were, like, doing boxer shorts. But a jean jacket's, like, that's, like, the top of, I mean, I've watched Project Runway. That's the top of the top.
That will stress you out.
Well, right? Denim's hard to work with. And then on top of that, like, a jean jacket?
It was a challenge. I think I walked into it a little naive and unaware, which was probably good at the time because I didn't know what I was getting into. And I have a mother-in-law that is a very talented seamstress, so there was a few points on, like, the welt pockets that I was like, oh, I might need a you know, piece of advice here on how to do this. So she was able to help me on the more complicated parts. But that was just a really neat make because, so denim is another one that... Denim is super hard on the environment to create. So, I wrote this down. It takes approximately 7,000 liters of water to produce 1 pair of jeans, which is what an average person drinks in 5 to 6 years, that amount of water. So,
why? What do they use it? What do they do with it?
They just drink it while they're making the jeans. They're just so hard to make.
7,000 people.
7 years to make the jeans, and they consume all the water.
Yeah. I don't understand, you know, the whole process of why it takes that quite that much to process the cotton and everything. And the dyes, it might be part to do with the dyes as well. But denim is so harsh on the environment to make. So being able to use denim that already existed to make that jean jacket was exciting for me. To get to do that, so.
Man, okay. That's intense. We'll post some pictures. We'll do a little flippy-stagram.
Okay.
Of some of your different outfits.
Yeah, you gotta follow Star, man.
Because.
If you're listening, you don't follow Wellfiber, you're in for a treat.
I'm excited.
What are you wearing right now that we can see?
Last week.
I'm baiting you.
This was my husband's shirt last week, and we went through his closet. And he didn't want this shirt anymore, but I kind of like the fabric. So it's just, I refashioned his shirt to be a summery top for me, which ended up being perfect because the AC is out. So it's a very lightweight summer top.
What do you do when you want to reuse one of your husband's shirt to make a cute flowy summer top, but you put it on and it's skin tight? And then you're like, I'm bigger than you. Your jeans don't fit me.
Dang it.
Darn it. Sad. Yeah, no, it hasn't happened. I was just asking for anybody out there who maybe has a husband the same size as them. Also, I was going to ask, when you were talking about the quality of garments, with the risk of breaking a lot of dreams out there, I've gone to Anthropology before. And I don't know how they stack up on the list of good and bad places. And I know we're not here to, like, condemn, but, like, a little bit are. So I've gone into the, like, dressing room before and opened up, like, a little jacket and been like, dang, this is why this is $138 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
because everything on the inside is like pleated and sewed and finished and lined. Does that mean that they're doing better, or does that mean that they just spend more on still the same type of process?
No, it probably, like the jacket you described, sounds like it's really well made, and to make something really well, it takes time to add a lining to something, takes time to have those strong finishes. Like to do a French seam, for example, you end up having to sew the seam and iron it like two separate times, where in another garment or another way to sew it, you would only need like one line of stitching. So it takes more time to do those quality finishes. So if you are buying good quality garments, it should cost more because the amount of hours, amount of labor it takes is just more. It takes longer.
Cool. So Anthropology safe.
No, just kidding. I don't know about that.
Well, and I think it depends. Like, I'm sure Anthropology has some stuff that's made better and the process is done maybe more correctly than other things mm-hmm. as well. I mean, I'm sure everyone kind of has a little bit of differentiating. I also, the one thing, since we're talking about like Haiti trips and all, I've been to Africa.
Not the only people who've painted a gate.
I've been to Africa, separate countries in Africa, because I know it's not a country. But I brought a whole bunch of those paper beads back from Uganda, and they had them at Anthropology, and they were selling them for like $80. And I'm like, ladies on the street, charge like 80 cents for those.
Yeah.
Or to like $2. And so they were giving back, and it was this whole marketing placard of giving back to the, and I'm like, are you like splitting it 50-50 with the ladies? And they're like making bank on these necklaces?
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling they're still making the, like, less than, they're probably making 40 cents, but they get to sell 400, and then you're marking it up like 5 billion percent?
Yeah, I think that's
like,
5 billion.
I think it's, I checked the math, it's right, don't check it. But yeah, like, I don't know, it's just, it's weird. The whole thing's weird.
Yeah, and it's hard once you start noticing things like that and sort of educating yourself, like then your eyes are open to stuff like that and you're just like, no, wait a second, this doesn't really make sense. And it's mm-hmm. it slows you down from impulse buying and those kind of things, so it's good that you noticed that.
Well, I noticed it, but then I went immediately to Target and bought like 5 things 75% off, so I don't know if it helped. But I will say though, I'm like in the middle of, okay, you're going to have to convince me, because I've seen it and I felt it and I've been like, yeah, and I've like almost bought in and I've said, I'm going to do a capsule wardrobe and I'm going to get rid of all these things that don't fit me very well in my body. And I don't like having, cause I did the whole, which I'm moving. So I only have like a third of my wardrobe to even look at right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I have maybe like half of my normal summer stuff if we're doing four seasons. And I look in it and I'm like, I don't have anything to wear. And it's like 4 pairs of overalls, but like, meh, only one pair that I think fits me right now. And I've worn them probably 30 times, literally, in the last, since the move. So, I don't know. So part of me is like, I just want to start over. Or yeah. like simplify my closet down to what I really, really love. But I can't, I don't know why I haven't done it yet. So how have you found success in not doing the bad things?
the bad things. Well, I will say I've had like a handful of people come up to me or message me about capsule wardrobe. They're like, so you have to buy all new clothes to do a capsule wardrobe? And I'm like, well, no, like, if you...
No. So this is great. So I buy 30 new outfits.
So it's an excuse to go shopping, right? Yeah. No, so in my thinking, I'm like, if you don't already have, like, the ability to create a pretty good capsule from what's in your closet, then you really need to reevaluate, like, what you're purchasing, because that's pretty indicative that what you're buying isn't actually matching what you want or what your needs are. So
there's like a very sweet floral way to say that.
Crop top, striped onesie unitard, like 9 pairs of blue overalls. You're like, I don't have anything classic. And there's no white t-shirt that can be worn with multiple things.
Yeah, and I think you all talked about it on here before, but just like, yeah, having those, making sure you have those solid staple pieces, and then having those fun things to mix in, like that's what gives your wardrobe personality and kind of shows off who you are. And so I don't think those things are you know, like wrong to have in your closet. I have a lot of fun like statement pieces, but yeah, oftentimes you want to mix them with something more neutral. So to have a really like good quality, neutral short or whatever you can wear with that floral crop top, like that's, you want to make sure you have like a balance. That's what I would say. So like, I wouldn't like encourage you to just go get rid of all that stuff unless you really don't like it anymore or something, but to focus more on the staples. Do you have the staples that you need in your wardrobe to even wear those fun pieces with?
I like to think of it like a pyramid.
Really?
I'm just kidding. I was gonna, but if you put the staples at the bottom,
there you go.
And then the frilly accessories that are maybe trendy that won't be in style is the very small little tip of the
brilliant
shopping.
It's brilliant. It's totally brilliant.
Wow. I just came up with it. Thank you.
And you know what I would call that?
What?
Like the biarchy of needs.
The biarchy. I like that. The biarchy of clothing needs.
Mm-hmm. Clothing needs.
Yeah, cool.
And one thing I do, I have a pretty good foundation with staples now, most of which I have actually thrifted. So what I do is I keep a running note on my phone of like, yeah, do I have that classic white button-up shirt? Okay, no. So I put it in a note on my phone, and then when I'm going to a thrift store, I'll pull my phone out.
I do the same thing!
Oh, yeah?
I don't, and I don't have a freaking button-up white shirt in my closet, either.
Well, you didn't make a note about it. Yeah. Sorry, Star, I got so excited because I was like you.
Well, apparently it's not, you know, new because everyone does it, but it's helpful.
She's a Shaylee of Wichita. Stop it. It's my thing.
It's helpful if you look at that, like, before you step into a store because it helps you kind of keep your eye on what you actually need in your wardrobe instead of getting those one-off pieces that you're going to wear once and never again.
Yes, that's so smart. Okay.
Not to mention, I'm going to double click on that.
Okay.
I am very, very frugal and I don't enjoy spending money. It's hard for me to part with it. So one time I decided, like, you know what I really want? I want like a light jacket. It'd be super cool if it was like military green because that color's kind of missing from my wardrobe. I want it to be like rainproof and I want it to be a certain length. Like I want it to be exactly here. It was so specific in my mind. And for like a year, it just kind of sat in my notepad and then I happened upon it, like the exact thing. And it was probably like $50 to $60, which I don't normally like pass me would be like, oh, yikes, unless it's 20, don't talk to me. But there's something you feel absolutely great about purchasing something that is so intentional that you know you wanted for over a year. And then you're like, and that's the one. Okay. And the materials check out and it's high quality. Fantastic. Here's my money.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I feel like you feel like more sure of your purchases when you've thought it out ahead of time and, you know, you've done a little Pinteresting, gotten your vision together and you can identify those sort of missing pieces and then be patient. That's what's really hard is being patient to find just the right thing.
Ooh, that's...
What do you think, Springfield Star?
I don't know. I think I need to take some notes.
Are you starting to think you're not the same?
Go through my stuff. We're the same. There's parts of some of us that might be better than parts of others of us. But we don't need to go into specifics.
You know what it really is you just need to pop out that second baby because that's what really triggered me. So that's what...
Okay, I just need to have a baby. Yeah. A boy, and then I'll have like an enlightening of a pyramid. Okay,
if that does happen, you really would be the Springfield Star.
I would be Springfield Star.
That would be so cool. Okay, so I would love to know how this applies to kids. Your kids' clothing? Is this something you're kind of keeping in mind when you buy for them or thrift for them? Is this an example you're setting for them? Mm. So what's like the legacy plan you're trying to instill in your kids?
Yeah, that makes it sound like when you use the word legacy, like it's this very intentional thing. But where I think it actually just started with like, I just need less on my plate. So I think it has trickled down into how I view my kids' clothing too. So they both have a lot less than they used to. And you just realize like how little clothing they actually need and then they grow out of it anyway. So I try to just get them like pretty staple pieces, you know, and then of course my daughter wants frilly things, which is fine. So I try to apply it to them in some ways, but it is harder with kids, I think, because they kind of just like what they like. But I think what has you know, trickle down is just the amount of clothing is a lot less.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
You can find some good vintage baby Instagram followers, like, to buy from. Yeah.
Yeah, and when I'm going thrifting, too, like, I kind of keep a mental note or on my phone of, okay, Flora, you know, she's growing out of this, so I should look for the next size jeans or dresses or whatever. So I kind of, I'll go, you know, browse the kids section, too, while I'm there.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's good. And then I have another question.
Okay.
How, like, where do you shop now? What do you do now? Like,
it's really hard for me to buy clothing now because I sew, and it's the thrill of shopping for new clothing to me has gone away, because that thrill only really comes now with, like, making something with my own two hands, which that is not everyone's, you know, situation or story. Yeah. So, and I think what is hard is when you start looking into, like, ethically made clothing, it's a whole conversation going on right now, like, online, especially about, like, ethical clothing brands, and they are really pricey. So it's super hard, you know, not everyone's going to have the finances to be able to do that. And I've looked into a lot of different brands, and I would love to, like, invest in an Elizabeth Suzanne piece someday. She's, like, one of my favorite designers, but I'm just not in that place right now. So I do more secondhand shopping for clothes, or try to make it. I haven't bought too much new stuff really in quite a while. I think I did buy a pair of Levi's last year. I got a pair of Levi's for my birthday. Because I definitely will wear those until they don't fit on my body or they disintegrate. Yeah. Cause they're really well made and, a cut that I really love. So I think that was one of the big purchases I made last year, was a pair of good Levi, like, zero stretch mom jeans.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting that you're saying zero stretch, cause I didn't even know that was, like,
well, stretch is not that synthetic. What I did is I went to the Levi outlet in Branson, and I bought, like, 8 pairs of the stretchy jeggings from Levi, which are not ideal. But I will also wear them until they disintegrate.
There you go.
Very, very much sooner than
400
the zero
years
sweat.
Ago. 400 yeah. years from now, is that what she said?
I'm being buried in them.
Okay, and then just in case someone listening isn't familiar with the concept of capsule, I would love for you to explain a little bit what a capsule wardrobe is, and then to take it a notch further, explain what the 10x10 project that you nail so well.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so capsule wardrobe, I feel like everyone probably knows what it is, but it's basically just having a wardrobe of pieces that are able to mix and match. And if you look it up online, I think it's typically around 40 pieces, including your shoes. So it's having a lot less than what an average American has in their closet these days. But everything is can mix and match easily, and it's higher quality, so you're wearing these things a lot more frequently. And you're kind of wearing them together in different ways than maybe you would have thought before, because you have fewer pieces. So that's all it is, and it really does combat the decision fatigue, because you only have so much to choose from, so the decision's kind of, like, made, and you already know that these things fit you well, and they're easy to wear, and boom, you're just ready to go.
I like that. It's really, like, I feel like I could trick myself into doing one and act like I'm packing for, like, a month-long vacation.
Yeah.
And then I have to pick out my, like, favorite outfits that all go together because of space. And then I'm like, wait, it's done. Everything else has to go.
That's exactly it. Yep. And
okay, so 10x10.
Oh, 10x10. Okay, so 10x10 challenge. There's a girl that started this challenge. She's Canadian, and her name's Lee Vosberg. I think her Instagram handle is called StyleBee, and she's super precious and has impeccable taste, and she just nails the whole capsule wardrobe. But she started something called the 10x10 challenge, and it's 10 items for 10 days. So it's 10 pieces of clothing, including your shoes, for 10 days. It doesn't include, like, you know, loungewear or workout wear or anything. So the challenge is that's the only thing you wear for 10 days in a row, and you try to pick things that you're going to be able to mix so that you can wear them for 10 days without cheating or whatever. And it's,
what if you're a mom and workout clothes are also your regular clothes?
Well, there you go. I think, yeah.
One by 10.
There you go.
Latex lasts forever.
Yeah. No, I think, like, I mean, I've done it, and, like, I'll go work out in the morning and then, like, come home and change into the outfit, like, for the day or whatever. So, I don't think... It's supposed to be just for fun. It's supposed to just kind of challenge you to see pieces in your wardrobe in a new way and, like, try different combinations you never would have done before. So, I've done it... I think I've done it maybe 5 times now, and there's another one coming up if people want to join.
Oh, when?
I think it starts July 27th, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, oh, can Shayla do it?
Yes! Oh, do it, Shayla!
Yeah, can Shayla do it? Shannon, you'd be so good at it. It's 10 days from now. Okay, you have 10 days.
See, I was just about to say, I'm backing myself in the corner because I was just about to say, the 10 by 10 seems so much more manageable to me than the 30-day capsule wardrobe. 10 by 10 seems like I could just flippantly be like, I'll do that for 10 days, sure. And now here we are.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do
okay, it. I'll do it. Do I'll do it. It.
You'll
I'll
do it?
I'll do it.
Will you post it on our Instagram?
Yeah, every day it's going to be boring because it's going to be the same thing.
But here's the thing. Just it's kidding. Not be boring because fun. If you watch Star do it, I'm always like, oh, I didn't know that skirt I'm just gonna repost could be worn like that.
Photos and put my head on it.
With there you go.
I know I got a designer.
Oh, it got creepery.
Yeah.
Creepy.
No, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. Yay. Are you doing it,
Star? I was thinking about it. The last few times I've done it, I've been trying to incorporate more and more handmade things. So my goal is eventually, other than shoes, to do like a completely handmade version. So I don't know if I'm there quite yet, but we'll see.
You don't cobble?
What?
You don't cobble?
Huh?
Shoes?
No, but a lot of people I follow in the sewing community are starting to make their own shoes, and it's incredible.
That was a total joke.
No, it's incredible.
I don't think cobble's a word, actually. It might be. That's insane. I know. That's like another level.
It's another level. It's amazing. So I would like to try.
Cut the sleeves off of a thrift shirt and make a one of those workout tanks or something.
There you
I'll
go.
Do something fancy. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Okay, so those are good action steps. So yes. Shaylee's gonna do a 10 by 10. I'm excited to do that. And then just curious, are there any stores, default stores, that you do feel good about? You have a short list
that's
of
safe.
Yeah, like safe ones.
Oh, that's super hard. Well, so for me, I tend to find designers that I like and look for them, and which you can find at different stores. So one designer I really like is Eileen Fisher, and she's been around for a long time, but she has pretty timeless style, and you can often find her stuff at, like, Nordstrom Rack has usually a rack of Eileen Fisher, and sometimes you can find stuff on, like, the clearance section because her stuff's made really well, and she uses natural fibers. So for me, I tend to look more at the designer rather than the store for things like that. There's also, I mean, there's, like, a zillion Instagram accounts now of, like, ethical clothing brands made in America that... you know, you know exactly where the fabric's coming from and the labor, and everyone's getting paid fairly, and like that's awesome. Most of the time, you're going to pay an arm and a leg, so it just kind of depends on the route you want to go. I've also heard really good things about Everlane. I haven't personally purchased from Everlane, but they have really classic, timeless stuff that's supposed to be ethically made.
Well, and if the idea is you're consuming less and owning less, then maybe the fact that it's $200.
Right.
Isn't as big of a deal if it's like your big birthday present from like both sets of parents or something. I don't know.
Exactly. Right. No, exactly. It's, I mean, I think for shoes, it kind of just makes more sense. But if you think about like buying a nice pair of leather boots you're going to wear for the next 10 winters, like, yeah, you're going to pay a couple $100, but you don't always think about that when it translates into your clothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to mention like your alignment of your back and like health problems if you buy cheap shoes, like
right.
You go a whole
true.
Different route.
So tell your husband it's for your health that you have to buy expensive.
It's for my health.
Oh, yeah.
Stars said.
Oh no, don't say that.
And
I'm
you can
say
eat
it.
The,
I'm
eat the organic leather if you come under
you
hard times.
You can eat it if you need to.
That's the
yeah.
Entree.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's so much information we've talked forever.
So
thank
much
you.
To unpack.
I know.
Yes, thank
I think
you for
like
being
the
so generous
the big thing it can feel overwhelming. So my like suggestion for people would be to start by going in your closet and picking out the things that you just wear all the time anyways, and like keep loving those garments well, and then identify one thing you'd like to add to your closet, just one, and do some research, go thrifting, and like try to find just that one thing. Just start with one thing, and that's much more manageable, much more doable, or save up for that one thing for a few months or a year even if you need to, and invest in something, and you know, take it one step at a time. Don't feel like you have to overhaul your entire life, because that's not really a sustainable thing to do.
And we're all about sustainability.
That's right.
Katie caught diapers.
Yeah, that's why I caught
diapers. That's awesome.
No, I don't.
She doesn't. I did. I did that.
I didn't think the diapers were ethically made.
I did not cop diaper either.
Yes! Aha!
Shaylee wins. She's a mix.
I win. Okay, let's end it. Now I win. I'm on top.
So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come right back and play a quick game with Star.
Katie, have you ever been in, like, that friend's house?
Ugh, that friend.
That
yes.
friend that it's like... You love being in the house, but it makes you feel a little bit bad about your own because every bathroom, even the kids' bathroom and the guest bathroom, has like Mrs. Meyer's hand soap. All their cleaning products are natural. All their laundry detergent and dryer balls and essential oils. Katie.
I'm like, did you win the lottery? And also, should I get out of your dryer ball stash?
Right. Is this okay to be going through here? You can be that friend. You can be that friend, Katie, with Grove Co. The appropriate way. To creep in your friend's
research
house.
Dryer ball.
Don't lock yourself in your friend's bathroom and go looking through her medicine cabinet to see what all she has stocked in there. Grove, go through Grove's metaphorical medicine cabinet because they've done the stocking for you.
You basically have permission to go through their dryer ball drawer online.
Right. And as a listener, when you sign up for Grove Collaborative, you'll receive a $30 Mrs. Meyer's kit plus a bonus gift and a 2-month VIP membership. Grove's VIP membership gives you unlimited free shipping, a free full-size gift every few months, and a price match guarantee, and amazing personal service. Just go to grove.co/sk. That's grove.co/sk. Make your home the happy, healthy home that I envy.
And we're back! Star, we are going to play a game with you called
Upcycle It!
Okay, now Shaylee and I found 3 items in a thrift store while we were being super sustainable. It was like the third rung on the pyramid or something.
Right,
I
know. Like that.
Yeah, it's not funny. We like the pattern of these things, but we're just kind of confused how to
upcycle it.
So we're going to challenge you to make something out of these things. Okay. Mm-hmm. I found this super cool, like, bicycle tire. It's like really rubbery, but it's like kind of gold. It's got like gold flecks in it. It's just organic a rubber tire. How would you like go about
upcycling it? Literally.
This is a bicycle tire?
Yeah.
Oh.
But you know,
what else?
Now, are you wanting to wear? Are you wanting to wear the tire?
Well, yeah. Totally your body.
Oh, okay.
It's part of your staples.
Or, you know, a home decor. I don't know. You know, I already bought it.
Okay, well, actually, there is a thing about making old bicycle tires into, like, rugs that you put on your front porch. So you could...
Oh, my gosh!
You cut it up into little strips and poke holes through it and kind of weave it into a really, really durable rug that you can scrape your shoes on before you come inside. That's what I would do.
Listen to that.
And we did it!
It's done.
That was the rug. Okay, we did it. Okay, my item is, it's a triple extra large.
Good.
Skirt.
Oh.
With a 0 stretch waistband.
Oh, listen to her.
Buttons all the way down the front. Go.
Okay.
Floral. It's beautiful.
Floral. Oh, ooh.
It is beautiful.
Okay.
She has it right here.
I would personally just use the fabric to make something new, like a camisole or a boxy shirt or something. Probably what I would do with that. I would just make it into something totally new. You may have to get a little creative with where you place your pattern pieces. Might have to think outside the box a little bit or piece some of it together to get the amount you need. But yeah, I've done that. So that's easy peasy there.
Okay, and I have one more thing here. It's actually a really well-made jean jacket, but I was wondering if maybe you could upcycle it into, like, 4 pairs of men's jeans. You could,
like, really? Like, maybe, like, for a Kendall.
Okay.
Toddler jeans.
That would be great.
Toddler jeans. There you go.
That's great. That's great, Katie. Thank you. Thanks for upcycling that.
Thank you. She
into something useful.
Upcycled it into things that would fit four people. Toddlers.
You can find Star on Instagram at Star Lee White or follow her business and sewing account at Well Fiber. That's WellFibre. It's like French.
Like fancy.
You guys need to follow her immediately. It's really amazing what she makes. Candy.
Star, thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge.
You were wonderful.
Well, thank you, ladies, for having me. I feel so honored.
And some practical steps of how we can take steps toward steps.
You're going to put on your step counters because there's going to be a lot of steps.
Mm-hmm.
All the steps. Star steps. Star steps.
She's going to talk us through some practical baby steps to start
taking more steps in the right direction.
Next week, we're going to be addressing some people pleaser problems, including criticism, haters, and what happens when someone doesn't like you.
Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you so much for listening. We love hearing from you guys on Instagram, email, especially our favorite place of all, iTunes reviews.
Guys, we love reviews and they help other people hear about the podcast, and we actually read every single one.
We read them and we squeal and we screenshot them.
Then
and
we maybe text we text about them it. To
it's
each
weird.
Other.
But anyway, we appreciate you guys and thank you so much for sharing the podcast on social media.
If you want to reach out, you can contact us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com or find us at shayleeandkatie.com.
We could not do this without you. And we love you.
We love you. We're in love with you.
Too soon. Thank you.